everyone has a different journey and a different timeline. And you just have to remember what your strengths are, what you bring to the table, and what you're passionate about. And then it will lead to that, and to just really not compare, and to try to just believe and reassure yourself as much as possible.
Welcome back.
I know, me.
This is going to be exciting. And by the way, like I said, I promised.
What?
Because the weather's changing, long sleeves are gone. It's all short sleeves. 110 is on its way.
It is.
And pickleball is in first or full swing.
Yes, for sure.
I think it's in full swing all the time.
Year round. Who do we have with us here today?
Caitlin Miller.
Welcome.
Hi, guys.
What
it's so
pleasure.
Good to see you.
It's awesome to have you on. We met Caitlin through some of our other athletes.
No, I found her randomly on the internet. It turns out she was friends with Carl Hilliard.
It was
like a God thing. I was like up late one night. You were sound asleep. Everybody was in bed. That's when I do my social like scrolling to see who we can connect
with. I remember.
With. And I found her.
She found you. And then she was like, oh my gosh, she is darling.
Oh, that's so sweet. No, it was funny that you found me because we had met Carl at the US Open last year and he was so gung-ho about Crush. And he's like, you guys have to try like their paddles. Like, and they were like, they're like literally the best family you'll ever meet. And then it's so funny because Rochelle reached out to me and then I was like, oh my gosh, this is just all meant to be. So I'm so glad it happened.
It is. And this is awesome.
And then you end up being friends with Chase Mason's sister.
Yes, Jess.
And then we signed Chase. It was just, I mean, here we are states apart, thousands of miles apart, and pickleball connects. Like nothing I've ever seen.
It's been awesome.
Rewind, tell us what you do. Shout out to the world on what you do, girl. You're great.
Yes. So I'm a news and sports reporter here in Nashville for the local Fox station. So, you know, covering everything from hard news day to day, but also filling in and covering, you know, the Titans, the Sounds, and the Preds, and all our local teams here in Nashville.
That's awesome.
That's so exciting. I remember her first podcast that she did. She had us on, and we had no idea what we were doing, to be totally honest. We were sitting at our kitchen table. Then we're sitting behind our bar. Then we were setting up in the living room. We're like, Caitlin, we don't know how to do this. And you just walked us through it. And I'm like, how do we go through this and not itch our face or mess with our hair? How do you stay still?
But you're and now you guys are pros, and now it's just so weird. Yeah, it's weird being on the other side. I'm like in the hot seat. I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, you are. So speaking of, because we put you in a hot seat, but we wanted you to come on because, you know, you started telling us about your story, which was really cool. Take a step back. What we want to hear is really, hey, this was Caitlin back then. You were really a big athlete in multiple sports. And take us through a little bit of a journey that you've gone through to be where you are today.
Yeah, literally since I was in the first grade, I was like, I'm going to be a D1 athlete. And athletics is definitely what defined me my entire life. I ended up playing, I was a three-sport varsity athlete in high school, actually doing tennis, basketball, lacrosse. Got really burnt out of lacrosse, and I like was like an identity crisis because I'm from Long Island, New York. Lacrosse is what everyone does. And then I'll never forget this. The rowing coach came up to me in the hallway. He found out I was quitting lacrosse, and he's like, if you do what I tell you and join my team, I'll get you into any school that you want to go to. And I was like, wow, okay. So I said, all right, give me a little bit to think about this. This is like a whole new journey we're going on. And I walked into his office and I said, I'm going to do it. And sure enough, he got me official visits at my four dream schools. I ended up choosing UCLA, but and easier said than done. But I mean, I went through a lot of training, gave up, you know, my summers and everything to get to the level to be recruited by, you know, a top school in the nation for rowing. So it's been a journey, but I love it. And now like pickleball is kind of my new chance to be competitive again.
Right. I want to capitalize on something you just said, especially as a mother with three boys and always being, you know, having some sort of an impact as a substitute teacher and being around young kids. You said, I gave up my summers. See, to get where we want to go, we have to do something we've never done before. So while kids were out playing, screwing around, sleeping in, doing whatever, you were sacrificing. So you didn't just get these offers just because.
No, I literally trained from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Then I'd go to a country club in our town. I'd work as a pool lifeguard from 9 to 3. And then I'd go back and compete or train from 4 to 7. I was training like probably 6 hours a day during my summers. I was also traveling the world. I was on a national team. And then in addition to that, I had to give up basketball one winter in order to get my erg time down on the rowing machine, then was competing in Boston and all these other cities to get my name out there. Also competing with the men's team before school and then practicing with the women's team after school. I mean, I literally, because I didn't join until I was a spring of sophomore year. Like, I mean, recruiting season's junior year. I was so behind. Yes.
That's incredible.
Here's my big question for you, because, you know, I've met a lot of people that have kind of been in your position and everything, gone through that. So seeing where you were and then where you are now, obviously, you know, in your career now, like, how did you deal with all the stresses and the pressures and the constant, like, it's a grind.
It is. I still struggle with it. You know, since, like I said, at the first grade, I was kind of this star athlete, and I was always expected to make varsity my freshman year across all sports. And then once I made varsity, it was like, oh, is Caitlin Miller starting? You know, it was just like always this like, oh my gosh, okay, I did this, I accomplished this, but then what's next? And what is she expected to do? And it's like, well, if anyone can do it, she can. And it sounds great, and I'm honored to have people respect me like that. But at the end, it's like, you know, I had that outside pressure. Now it's like self-inflicted pressure. So even up until this broadcasting career, which I'm in, which is also extremely competitive, it's like, you know, I'm here. I finally made it to a top market. But what's next? Like, I want to keep making it to the top. So it's definitely given me a lot of anxiety that I've tried to, like, I try to deal with now and try to meditate more and take a step back and kind of realize what I have done. But it is definitely really hard to manage that.
It's interesting you say that. I was talking to some young kids the other day, and they said, when people make money, when is enough? Kind of brings me to what you're saying. And when is enough? And you really have to have that, that scale inside of you that says enough, right? So yes. Where are you no longer in competition with the world, but you're only in competition with yourself really at the end of the day? And where do you put the stop? Where does the stop sign come? Where you feel like you've accomplished what you want and you have nothing to prove except to find joy and fulfillment in your own heart, in your own journey. Because it really, at the end of the day, it's your journey, Caitlin. So I hear you say that, and I hear that too much from young children, is it's the anxiety and the pressure. And it's the pressure of the world. Think if we didn't have social media. Oh, my goodness.
I know. I would love that, actually. I know
I would love that, too. I'd love to burn it all today. I say that to Pete all the time. I realize it's a necessary evil in, you know, in business. Right. But there's a lot of pressure that comes from that. And you're always behind the camera.
Yes. And you're always seeing, you know, what your, you know, quote unquote competition or people doing your position. And let's say like a Phoenix or Charlotte, it's like, you're always seeing what the other people are doing. And it's like, well, why can't I be there? What can I do to be there? And I realize it's a highlight reel, and like people probably see me on the CMA's red carpet and they're like, oh, I want to do that. But it's hard when you're, you know, comparing yourself to other people. It's like, well, how can I get to the next level? It's like a constant thought. I definitely have learned to embrace the city or the journey, because I've lived in several cities across my career. I move almost every 2 to 3 years. And I've enjoyed every place I've lived and, you know, taken advantage of the whole culture and everything there. But it's like still in the back of my head. Like even right now, I'm like, okay, well, what's next? You know, so it's hard to deal with.
What message could you give? I just want to really capitalize on this, because young kids do watch these videos. Young kids are impressed by beautiful young women like you who have been successful. In fact, I think kids look up to someone younger like yourself than someone like Pete and I. And what would your message be to them? Where is that cutoff? Where is it where you're feeling so much anxiety and stress because of the pressure and being on the bright lights and being on the red carpet, as you said, literally? where do you find your peace? Where do you just say, okay, enough's enough?
I think recently, like, I've stepped back because my, you know, family's like, well, what if you, you know, you would crush it in sales or you would do well in this? And I think about that. I'm like, yeah, I would, but is that like what I'm truly passionate about? And I think at the end of the day, and I mentor a lot of people in this industry, and I tell them, like, if you want this job, you have to be like 110%. You're going to give up your 20s. You're going to live in Montana, you know, the like just random parts of the world. You're going to give up a lot of stuff to do this. But if you really want to do it, it will be worth it in the end. And I think recently, because I've had that question, it's like, oh, should I keep pursuing this or should I do something else so I can move closer to my family and make more money? But I think like what you have to realize is, and you'll learn it throughout time, is like, what are you truly passionate about? And if you are, you should give it 110% and stick with it and just take a step back and realize what you've done and then set, you know, short-term and long-term goals. But I think at the end of the day, you need to be passionate about whatever that is so that it doesn't take the fun out of it. Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Because that's what will get you up. I know our middle son will ask us that sometimes. What gets you up in the morning?
Yes. Right. Exactly.
And honestly, at the end of the day, it's our team.
Yeah.
Because everything else is just money and stuff and grind. But our team is, it just makes me smile inside. Like I'll find myself, I'm like smiling and nobody's around when I'm looking at video or content from our team being out there, which is so cool.
So where's, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and that's what makes something, you know, like you do rewarding. It's like you've created this whole amazing community with like such a diverse group of people. But then when people reach out to you, you get an email or a DM, you know, just saying how much you've helped them or changed their lives. Like, I feel like that's that moment. You're like, okay, yes, I'm doing that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Yes.
Right. How does pickleball play a role in your everyday or every other day? Where are you at with pickleball? How often do you play and how's that had an impact on your life?
Because you're not exactly like a recreational player.
No, coming from
I've seen some videos and you're pretty dangerous on the court.
I know. Of course, I just couldn't be a rec player. I'm like, oh, now I need to really take this to the next level. It has changed my life. So here in Nashville, I am on the evening news. So I have like a non-traditional schedule where my first meeting every day is at 2 p.m. And so socially, that was really hard for me as someone in my 20s living in Nashville, Tennessee, where all the cool concerts and stuff are in the evening. Yeah. And so I've found this like amazing group of pickleball people that train every morning from like 8 to 10 a.m. So every morning I get up, I go play with them, and it's just so much fun. We're all going to the U.S. Open together. Like, you know, we'll do like local tournaments, national tournaments, and they're just such a great group. And it's opened up a whole new social circle for me, a whole new purpose, I say, which, you know, has led to a lot of other freelance opportunities and my own podcast. Mm-hmm. So, and then also just taking it to the next level to play in 5-0 tournaments, now pro tournaments. So, I could not imagine my life. I think it would be really lonely here in Nashville without it, just because of my work schedule. Like, what would I do every morning before work, you know?
What were you using before you used Crush? I don't even know.
I was using a Yola paddle.
Okay. And what did you find? What was different about the paddle when you switched over? Did it take a long time to get used to? Like what?
I remember I was like dabbling with it. I kept going back and forth. I'd say maybe for like a month or so. And then one day, like one of the guys I trained with, he was like, you're playing like the best I've ever seen you play. And I was like, I wasn't even thinking about it. I was like, oh yeah, I'm winning all my matches. But I was like, oh, you're right. Like, it must be this paddle. And then when you guys came out with the RQT, like, and I was able to use my two-handed backhand from tennis, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a game changer. So now I haven't even gone back since that paddle. So, you know, like,
exciting.
I love it. And people are always like, what is that paddle you have in your hand? Because the head face is so small. And I was like, just try it. It'll take a little bit to get used to, but like, I love it.
I remember we did our first podcast with you. You said, you know, try not to use dates because, you know, they might not air for a couple weeks, right? And so just all the things you have to learn with, when you're filming. But so I don't know, you know, this probably doesn't air for a few weeks, but I think of the racket because our Joey, who's, you know, maybe a whole 5 feet tall, he was just playing in a PPA tournament this past week, which will be about 3 weeks from when this airs. And he was using the freestyle paddle and he got teamed up against the Grand Canyon University pickleball team. And they had come down to his bracket and he was missing some balls and he pulled out the RQT, pulled out the racket like a sword. He's like, that's it. And just starts nailing all the lobs. We were just sitting back there. We're like, I mean, our kid's great, but that racket is really badass. Like, it was so fun to watch the balls that he was hitting because of the paddle.
Yes. I mean, and people, one of the guys I play with, he calls it like the cricket. And it's so funny because now he has one of my paddles. Now he's testing it out. He was like, oh, he's like, oh, Caitlin and the cricket. And then now he's trying it out. I'm like, well, I told you so.
You know what? That's the one thing. We've gotten so many. We've got cricket now. We had another guy call it the fly swatter.
The fly swatter.
He's like, you got the fly swatter.
Now, let's just see how many more fly swatters come out in the industry.
Yeah,
I know. Yes.
Being entrepreneurs for 20 years, you know, that's like, we used to get our feelings hurt. We're like, oh my gosh, somebody copied us, you know? And now it's like, well, who's going to copy us? Because we know we did something right.
So yes, that's a compliment.
It's a compliment. Yeah. Get over it. Right. So you've seen your game change.
Yes.
Pickleball is an outlet for you, you know, just to give you that community and that break from what you're doing because you have such a rough, you know, and tough schedule. You're competing. Do you have any competitions coming up?
Yes. So PPA Austin, which I'll be playing with Carl Hilliard, which is also one of your athletes. And then I'll be doing actually 4 events in the US Open in Naples, Florida. And then I'll also be competing in this Owensboro tournament in Kentucky. It's like a 5-0 open division in women's doubles. We're doing that actually with my women's partner to train to do a tournament once before the US Open. And that's actually coming up very soon. That will be before Austin, Texas. So I actually have a very busy pickleball.
You have a busy schedule coming up.
Yes.
Pickleball work. But the good news is it brings it all together. It's just like the pickleball is kind of like work social. It's like the new golf course, right? It's
like
you're networking out there.
Less expensive.
Yeah. When less expensive.
Less expensive.
It is. Yeah.
You know, for all the young kids, and I come back to the kids because we have such an opportunity to have an impact on children's lives moving forward. And as a mom, that's really important to me. Where in your life, not even just pickleball, did you have a real life struggle and you were able to pivot? And what is that you can share with other listeners today? It doesn't even have to be related to pickleball.
Yeah, I think it's actually been here in Nashville. It's interesting. I started my career in Montana, which I was just so happy to get that first like on-air job. And so I was there for 2 years, then moved to Greensboro, North Carolina. And so that was like a middle market for TV. And then now I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's considered a top market. And so I think right now I'm like, okay, what exactly do I want to do with this career? It's like I've made it to the top market, but it still doesn't feel like enough for me. And so I'm navigating that right now and trying to figure that out and see what truly brings me happiness, which then goes back to pickleball, which it is pickleball. And that's why, you know, I started my own pickleball podcast. I try to do as much pickleball content as possible. And so I think it's like, I don't know, people say I always thought my 20s would be like just fun. It's like, oh my God, the first time you're making money. But I think it's actually the hardest years of your life because you're really trying to figure out your purpose as an adult and also like what you want to do long term. Because I always thought I'd have it all figured out by the time I was 30, and I'm 29 now. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what's next? But I'm just trying to, you know, focus on building the brand, focus on the things that I really do love, which is pickleball, and kind of see where it goes from there. So I think as a kid, you know, if you're lost, even about like going to college, like that was a huge thing, or what sport you want to do next. I think it's like, just try everything and put yourself out there, and then you will figure it out. And I think the biggest thing too is, like, especially in my industry or just in sports, it's like comparing yourself. Like, I was like, oh my God, my teammate got an offer from Duke. Like, where's my offer from Duke? You know, so it's like, you just have to, everyone has a different journey and a different timeline. And you just have to remember what your strengths are, what you bring to the table and what you're passionate about. And then it will lead to that, and to just really not compare, and to try to just believe and reassure yourself as much as possible.
That's great advice from a young, beautiful, strong, talented lady that really is. You're a bright light.
And, thank you.
And you're, and by the way, your podcast, so you've had some neat guests on. Give a shout out. Tell everyone where to go for your podcast.
Yes, for sure.
So that they can watch you as well.
Yeah, it's called Kitchen Talk Pickleball Edition. You can find it on Spotify, YouTube, and on Apple. And we also have Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok pages. So definitely check it out. You guys were one of my first guests.
Yeah, I know. It was so fun. It was awesome.
I think our arms work and our legs work and our heart beats and our eyes see and our ears hear. Every single day is an opportunity to reinvent yourself. I mean, whoever knew we would be doing pickleball a year from now, you know, a year ago. And so every day is an opportunity to reinvent yourself and give it all you've got. You are blessed, and we're blessed to have you on the team.
And I'm honored to be a part of it. It's really been such a great, like, just you guys even just like checking in on me, or, and you know exactly like what I want to do with pickleball, and like you're always offering connections, and it just, it really means a lot to have, like, you know, kind of like second parents in the pickleball world. So I appreciate you both a lot.
We hear that so often. That we're the pickleball mom and dad.
It's a team.
And it's a team. And it's really,
I love it.
Thank you for reminding us why we do what we do. Because they have become like our family, and kind of like our ride or die in the pickleball world. And it's really, really been a fun, hard, challenging. It's not all pretty, but it's been a heck of a ride. Yeah. And we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Caitlin, for joining us. This was awesome. For everybody watching, thank Caitlin as well.
Yeah,
make sure you like, make sure you subscribe.
Yeah,
we've got more exciting guests come, and check out her podcast.
For sure.
Thank you both so much. So fun.
Thank you.
Bye, Caitlin.
Bye-bye.